all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. We want to thank our national sponsors, NVBDC.org. That's the National Veteran Business Development Council, the leading veteran-owned business certification organization developed by veterans for veterans. Find them at NVBDC.org or call 888-CERTIFIED. And also Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm nationwide. You can call them at 800-693-4800 or find them on the web at LegalHelpForVeterans.com. As you know, Veterans Radio America has a partnership with the Association of Michigan and Military Organizations to bring you a quick look at an AMMO member that supports the history of military service here in the state of Michigan. And we encourage you to visit AMMO on Facebook and this particular organization who we're talking to. So we want to welcome to Veterans Radio a couple of representatives of the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Ruth Bergman, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Sarah Saltzman, also welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much.
So I want to start with you, Ruth. Why don't you tell our Veteran Radio audience about the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan, its mission, its purpose, you know, how long you've been around and what all the good work you're doing.
Sure, thank you. So our mission is to engage, educate, and empower our visitors by remembering the Holocaust. And we want our visitors and our audience to apply the lessons that they've learned through the Holocaust to the world today. We have a museum with artifacts such as an authentic World War II era boxcar. We have text panels, photos, video testimony, and artwork, and a sapling from the tree that was outside of Anne Frank's hiding place, all ways to engage in the story of the Holocaust, the lives that were lost, the examples of people who risked their lives to save others, including, of course, our amazing American military. And we ask our guests to react to contemporary challenges, such as racism and prejudice, based on what they learn at the museum.
Well, this is a tremendous facility, really, to teach that history from 1933 to 1945 and in Nazi Germany that people forget about. And when we talk to these big national important museums and centers, part of it is you're teaching a bit of history that just doesn't get enough time in a high school or grade school anymore. Isn't that kind of the problem?
Well, yes, there's always a lot of pressure to teach so much. And one of our goals is to help teachers find ways to teach the Holocaust impactfully, accurately, and with these lessons in mind. We have workshops for our teachers throughout the state of Michigan where we teach them pedagogic principles, how to teach the Holocaust. We give them reliable resources to use and to teach the lessons of the Holocaust so that it's not just a history lesson. You know, we all make choices in our lives. We all have responsibility to stand up to injustice and to take action. And you know, Jim, that as our veterans know and our listeners know, we in America have important choices that we make to stand up for the things that we believe in. And that's really what we want our visitors to come away with from our museum.
And we're talking to Ruth Bergman, who is the Director of Education at the Holocaust Memorial Center, as we put a spotlight on an AMMO member. And Ruth, it's not just the purging of 6 million Jews, but it was really about a much broader racial, ethnic, social attempt to eradicate people. And I suspect that your center not only focuses on the Jewish population, but others who were also similarly persecuted.
Yes, yes. So the Holocaust is the state-sponsored systematic persecution of European Jewry by Nazi Germany and, of course, their collaborators. But it is absolutely true that there were other people who were targeted by the Nazis for a variety of reasons, and we definitely tell their story as well. We have information about the Roma Sinti, otherwise known as gypsies, and the other peoples, Polish intellectuals and others who were also persecuted by the Nazis. And that's what our new exhibit is about as well.
I think it's sometimes, it's sometimes easy to pigeonhole what went on and just say, well, it was just about the Jews, but it was also about the Poles and gay men and Jehovah's Witnesses and political dissidents and anybody who opposed the party, if you will. So all of those lessons are things that we can apply today, I suspect, is part of what you're trying to communicate at the Holocaust Memorial Center.
Yes, and we really try to teach the lesson that ultimately the Holocaust happened like every event in history happened. You know, it doesn't just happen. People make choices. And people made choices to participate in all of the actions that led up to the genocide and led up to the terrible destruction that occurred during the Holocaust and World War II. And we want people to consider the consequences of hate, and that hate can ultimately go from thoughts in people's heads to terrible, terrible actions.
Well,
and that's a lesson that we can certainly apply today.
Yeah, the consequences of hate is a phrase I just had to write down because I think it's so powerful. And Ruth, you recently wrote an article that showed up in the Times of Israel called "The Lessons of the Holocaust Now More Than Ever." Why is it important to look back and reflect on the Holocaust and learn its lessons today? Why is it more important now than ever?
Well, I think, you know, we don't want to take our democracy for granted, and we have to make choices all the time to make sure that we respond to hate, that we say that it's not tolerated, and teach people how to stand up and fight for the things that they believe in. That's a lesson that never goes away. And I think that in our world today, there's been such a rise in anti-Semitism and in all sorts of prejudices that we need to be reminded that the Holocaust isn't just about what happened in the past and a history lesson, but that we take those lessons and we bring them forward into our lives today and use that as the impetus for being active participants in our democracy.
Tell us a little bit about who comes to visit, and we're coming out of a very strange year where almost, you know, nobody could go visit, but who are the folks who come and the groups that come to the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan?
So the first thing I'd like to tell you is that we are open, and we have an amazing core exhibit, and we invite your listeners to come to us. We are open Sunday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and on Fridays until 2:30 p.m. And we get a variety of visitors. We have general, you know, families and adults who come. We have, in you know, non-COVID times, we have about 35,000 students who come with their schools to visit us. So we have a great variety of people who come. Some are very familiar with the story of the Holocaust and World War II, and some who are really just learning about it for the first time.
Well, and we're within the shadow of International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is January 27th internationally. So it's a great time to think about visiting the center or visiting it virtually online. Can you tell our listeners what your website is and how they can learn more about the center?
Sure. So our website is www.holocaustcenter.org. They can also call at 248-553-2400. We do require face masks. We are wheelchair accessible. We have free parking. We follow all the state guidelines in terms of, you know, COVID safety and preparedness. And we invite our audience to come and to explore and see what we have to offer and teach.
Well, I want to turn now to some to bring Sarah Saltzman, who's the events director at the center, into the conversation. And Sarah, as we've talked in the past a little bit, online and education, those are two different things, but combined nowadays, is so important. And upcoming events for the center are so important. Can you tell us kind of what's going on and what's coming up?
Sure. Actually, our next event is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and that is on Wednesday, January 27th at 7 p.m. And we're honored to have Patricia Heberer Rice, who is the director of the Division of Senior Historian from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, coming. And she's going to discuss the complicity of physicians during the Holocaust. So her talk is really on how healers became killers. So we will get into Nazi medical professionals and what their role was, and really the planning and implementation of Nazi racial policy. We'll talk about euthanasia and sterilization within Nazi Germany.
And is this a live presentation, a video presentation, or both?
It's a virtual. So anyone who would like to come, all they have to do is go to our website, holocaustcenter.org, and they will see an invitation to register on our homepage. It's holocaustcenter.org/January. For those who don't want to make two stops, they can go directly to the registration form, and it will be on Zoom. So we invite everyone to come to that virtual program again on January 27th at 7 p.m. And for those who don't know, International Holocaust Remembrance Day was designated by the United Nations General Assembly as a date to officially commemorate the victims of the Nazi regime and to promote Holocaust education throughout the world. So it's a very important program. And then after that, on January 27th, I do want to mention we also are going to examine a current genocide today, which is the Uyghurs in China. That's also a virtual program, which will be on Thursday, February 11th. And so I invite all of your listeners to always go to our homepage. We always talk about upcoming events. The most recent event coming up will be right there front and center, but there's a tab that says events, and your listeners can just look at that and see what we have coming up for January and February.
And honestly, this is sort of the great work that centers, museums, memorials do all across the country, is this sort of education that is available to people that maybe they don't know about, and that's why we're talking to you. Because you do programs all through the year. There'll be something, I don't know how far out your scheduling goes, but there'll be there'll be something every all year long here in 2021, won't there?
So, yes, there will, Jim, and we are very proud of the fact we have at least two programs a month, and right now they're all online, but we have some really great things coming up. February is, of course, Black History Month, so after we discuss what's happening to the Uyghurs in China, we're going to talk about learning from the Germans, how the country of Germany learned to deal with the memory of evil and how it applies to the United States and our concept of what happened during the Civil War. In March, we're looking at Women's History Month, and we will have a special preview of a movie called A Call to Spy, which is about women spies during World War II. And we'll have a talk back with some of the people in the film, and that actually features, it's about Virginia Hall, who was one of the most famous spies in World War II, and she became a member of the CIA. So we actually schedule all year. We have very interesting things, I think, that your audience will find very informative.
And let me bounce back to you, Ruth, as the Director of Education. As the last year has pushed us all into this virtual world, it's kind of created new educational opportunities to get the message and the mission out, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. And we're actually very excited about the different opportunities that we have. So, for example, we have self-guided tours that our visitors can use because we're not able to offer guided tours as we usually do. So our docents developed these tours and they can enhance the visitor's exploration of our permanent exhibit. It provides information about artifacts and installations. It's got some questions to spark curiosity. You can get a QR code and follow on your phone as you go through the museum, but it's also on our website. So people can look at the guide before they visit if they want and kind of prepare. And if people feel that they don't really know very much about the Holocaust, this guide will really help them get through our museum. We also are putting our artifacts online and featuring artifacts, and we do that through social media and on our website. And we are creating online opportunities for schools. If they can't come to visit us in the museum, we are preparing lessons that we can Zoom into the classrooms and give the students the experience that they would have had here through discussing artifacts and stories of survivors and really get the fullness that they would have had they been able to come for a school tour.
And people do learn by hearing the stories. You know, I'm going to have you describe what artifacts are, but I also want you to talk a little bit about the power and the importance of the stories that you have at the center.
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with that, actually, about the power of stories. One thing that we absolutely emphasize here is that it's a human story. It's about people making choices, but also we don't focus so much on the fact that, you know, 6 million Jews were murdered, that X number of, Poles or Roma Sinti were murdered, but that they were individuals, that they were people with families and friends and lives, and to really see them as individuals. And people can make a connection to another person. And storytelling is a great way of doing that. We're very honored to have our local survivors who have been able to speak to our visitors, and their stories are also available online through our website. And that's how you make a connection. You know, that it's not just a story that took place long ago, far away in a place with a language I don't speak, but that's a person. That could be my grandmother. That could have been, me. And you hear those stories and it creates a connection that is stronger than anything, you can read about in a textbook. So that's a very personal stories are a very important part of the Holocaust story. And artifacts are items that are used, from the era of the Holocaust that tell stories. It could be a shoe that somebody wore. It could be a uniform, a piece of art that a survivor made as a way to express and tell the story in an artistic fashion. We have all kinds of artifacts in our museum. We have some artifacts that are from, propaganda that the Nazis were using, like a children's book that taught children to hate, which, just gives me chills every time I think about it, to all kinds of artifacts that our survivors and veterans have given us from their World War II and Holocaust experiences. And we use those artifacts to help tell the story, because it's not about the item. It's about the story that goes behind it. And probably our most striking artifact is right when you walk in our front door, we have a boxcar. It's a genuine boxcar that was used to transport German army personnel and equipment. And it was also used to transport Jews and other prisoners to ghettos and camps. And, you look at that and you really, start to think about the idea that people were put into these trains and taken to they didn't know where, and ultimately to their deaths. It's very powerful to be able to see that boxcar and look inside it and touch it. and it gives us a greater understanding of the experience that the victims of the Holocaust had.
Well, I hope that this discussion leads our veteran radio listeners to not only go online to find out more, but to arrange a visit for themselves, maybe their family members, maybe their schools or clubs or church groups, to the Holocaust Memorial Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan. I just appreciate, Ruth Bergman, the time that you and Sarah Saltzman have provided us. And Sarah, why don't you give us the website one more time?
So our website again is www.holocaustcenter.org. And can I do a shout out, Jim?
Please do.
Okay. Before we leave, we have to shout out our favorite veteran, our colleague, Dr. Guy Stern, who is a World War II veteran, just turned 99. So we just want to tell him how much we appreciate him. And I know he listens to Veterans Radio.
Well, we're glad to have that listener, and we're glad for his service. We're thankful for his service. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget what these men and women saw and had to experience and go through in liberating these camps or on the way up to liberating these camps. So these are all good lessons to pass on to our kids and grandkids. So I'm glad you guys are out there doing that and participating with the Association of Michigan and Military Organizations. Ruth and Sarah, thanks for your time here on Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for
inviting us.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.